Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Balrampur Chini Mills Limited's conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Poojari from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Poojari.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Balrampur Chini Mills conference call to discuss its venture into polylactic acid manufacturing. We have with us Mrs. Vivek Saraogi, Chairman and Managing Director of Balrampur Chini Mills, Ms. Avantika Saraogi, Executive Director, and Mr. Pramod Patwari, Chief Financial Officer of the company. We would like to begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we have the forum open for a question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to quickly point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the invite shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Saraogi to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us on Balrampur's conference call to discuss our foray into polylactic acid. So we have been discussing for a long time with all of our shareholders, you know, our next step and our next ventures. So our team has been researching over 3 to 4 years, and the management team, therefore, is of has approved this basic investment of 2,000 crores to establish a state-of-the-art PLA project costing around 2,000 crores with a global, comparative size of 75,000 tons per annum. And this represents the single largest investment in the history of our company. Besides making business sense, which we'll talk about, this decision also reflects our commitment to innovation, our belief in sustainable development, and our ambition to leverage our capabilities in meaningful and impactful ways. The PLA project is a natural extension of our efforts, signifying our vision to lead in the industry while contributing positively to the environment and society. As we foray into this new segment, it is important to understand the sector dynamics. Just some very basic data, the global primary plastic production is currently 400 million tons per annum with a market value of over $1 trillion USD. This is the plastic used in main applications of life. Despite their usefulness, traditional fossil-based plastics represents the linear and not a circular economy. The global PLA market is 300,000 to 400,000 tons per annum, growing strongly, often driven by national legislation. So now this is some global data. Our government in the budget 2024, and we put out a clause which they put into the budget. I quote, in the 24 budget, a significant step towards promoting green growth is highlighted with the introduction of a new scheme for biomanufacturing and bio-foundry. This initiative aims to boost environment-friendly alternatives like biodegradable polymers, bioplastic, biopharmaceutical, and bio-agriculture inputs. This is a measure which is clearly been put with a premise of combating, you know, global climate change, which impacts the environment owing to single-use plastic consumption. So I'd also like to just inform everyone that we have appointed Mr. Stefan Barot as the head of the project. Stefan comes with a wealth of experience of over 35 years, including 13 years in the bioplastic industry. He has gracefully concluded his role as president of EU Bioplastic Association, and his current assignment before he joined us was as CEO of a bioplastic compounding company. Prior to this, he's worked with Toto Corbion in various capacities, and therefore he is aware of the entire techno-commercial requirement of this business. He's a chemical engineer representing the technical part, and he was, I think, head of marketing there. Yeah. So we have, he would be joining us 1st of March. Yes, 1st of March. So with this, I hand over the floor to Avantika to take you through some basics.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being on this call. I just want to outline the landscape of the PLA market scenario, because I envisage that that is probably an important part of this equation. So just my dad highlighted briefly about the size of the plastic market. I just want to bring to everybody's notice that globally, you know, places like Europe are moving towards a 30% bio-based chemical and polymer economy, of which PLA can replace a sizable amount. PLA happens to be the cheapest and the most largely manufactured bioplastic in the world today, and therefore it is I would consider it a pretty safe space for us to venture into. Other than this, if we zoom in a little bit and just think about India, we alluded to 19 single-use plastic bans in the earlier statement. Now, these things alone constitute 5 million tons of plastic in India. At least 50% of this can easily be replaced by PLA, whether it is in a compounded or a neat form. So definitely our 75,000 tons would be probably just a blip in that kind of a market. So the market is there, and the bans were not always able to be enforced effectively due to the lack of an alternative material. And we know that PLA is actually a very, very good material for replacement. Another question might be a bit on price, but so PLA will be slightly more expensive than plastic, I would say maybe around double, but when there is a ban in place, then price of the traditional plastic versus the bioplastic no longer remains. Other than this, I want to mention that without any intervention from us or any dialogue from us, the world and India is already moving towards PLA and its compounds. For example, for years, Starbucks has been using PLA in its cups, straws, stirrers, liners, and paper cups, even before there was any legislation in place. Companies are becoming conscious and moving towards a greener tomorrow without any push. Of course, legislation helps, and companies like Amul, which is a daily household name in our country, it has moved on to PLA straws as of very recently already. You know, when a company like Amul moves towards it, everybody would happen to follow, I think. Other than this, a notable news which was also shared in the release was that DRDO has launched water bottles made from PLA, including the caps, labels, everything. And they're also in the process of doing juice bottles as well as food trays and everything for the armed forces, especially when they go to remote locations, and then disposal sometimes would become an issue. Other than this, garment manufacturers, Aditya Birla is the largest name, so we are taking it, but from the largest to the smallest, garment manufacturers are moving towards PLA and its compounds to package, you know, the cling film that we see around single garments. This is moving towards bioplastic. These are just some of the markets that have already developed in India, which are well known. Other than this, PLA is an engineering polymer for the 3D printing industry. There is, which what I mean to say by this is, there is no better polymer in the world today for 3D printing other than PLA. Also, since PLA is a bio-based, non-toxic plastic, and when it breaks down into lactic acid, which is naturally occurring, it is quite a sought after material for medical devices, which need to be used in our bodies, which can then just kind of fade away without leaving any kind of impact on the body. Other than this, I would say that we aren't just thinking in a bubble of creating PLA and PLA alone, but we are talking about the entire value chain right until the end of the life. So how I would say this, as we know already that we start off with sugarcane, we convert it to sugar, then it would come into this this plant, we would ferment it to lactic acid, and then finally it would be made into lactide and polymerized into PLA. That's the process. And then we would either compound it or we would sell it neat to you know, converters to make it into an actual bag or a bottle or a straw or a cup or a plate, whatever have you. And then it goes to the end consumer. Supposing it's used for packaging, then one more person who has to fill the packaging comes into place. We will also be hand-holding the entire process. And we have also invested for this particular part into a company called Comcon Specialities Private Limited. They are one of the leading manufacturers of, compounders and converters of bioplastics in the country. And they are able to provide solutions to any and everyone who needs and would like to use bioplastics in their products. Apart from this, there is a concern about PLA being compostable and not biodegradable under any you know, under normal conditions. Though this is a Western concept, in India the temperatures rise so much that in summer probably PLA would disappear. But having said that, the end of life scenario is, you know, that it's twofold. So the first one is that it is compostable, therefore it fits very well into our biogas story, in which India has already set foot and is kind of running hard. It can be taken to a composting facility where biogas is being generated by anaerobic digestion. So that's one end of life scenario for it. But the better end of life scenario would be that if we were able to recollect and chemically recycle it, it does not behave like fossil-based plastic where it degrades. PLA degrades back into its original monomer from which it is then repolymerized, and it has the strength and the ability of the virgin PLA that we would have made. So this is also a very, very big possibility and a big idea in our minds. How it plays out, it has a lot more people in the value chain to talk to. Other than this, this project will take around 2 to 2.5 years to be executed. So in that case, we have this entire time to talk about, to create the market and develop the business so that as and when our production comes in, it gets evacuated as soon as it possibly can. Okay, now there are other biopolymers which are either bio-based or biodegradable or both. So the main ones I would say are PBAT and PHA, which have gained traction in the recent time. So PHA is a bio-based and a biodegradable polymer like PLA. And it degrades in, it's softer in a way that it degrades faster than PLA. So I would say that this is actually a very, very good thing for us. PBAT similarly is a softer, a stretchier and a less rigid version of a plastic which is made from a fossil-based source at the moment. So now these things are not in competition with each other. In fact, all these three plastics would feed off of each other's demand. Because I would, you make recipes and you make compounds with as and what you need in order to create the properties that you so need. For example, if I wanted to create a marine degradable plastic, which you throw into the ocean and it goes away, it would probably use PLA, and you could probably compound it with some small percentage of PHA, which would then lend this characteristic to the entire product. Similarly, if I want to create a softer bag, you know, then I would probably blend it with PBAT, which would cut a bit of the rigidity of PLA and also give some strength to it, and both would feed off each other to create this perfect product which would then go in the hand of the people. So these bioplastics, as much as they grow together, would actually give us a lot of tailwind, and it's not in competition, but it's essential to the growth of each other.
Right.
Yes, I think that's it from me.
Yeah.
And we are open to questions.
Yeah. So thank you, Avantika. And now we welcome our questions. And
thank you very much, sir. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just want to understand a bit of economics of this project. Means what could be the asset turnover, what could be the margins in this business?
Yeah. So why don't I just thank you. I've noted your question. Let's assemble a few questions, then you attempt to answer together.
Yeah. So I have two more if I can.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So as you mentioned that this would be a project where, you know, so won't there be concern about the sugar production because raw material would be sugar? So in the current scenario, like there is an ethanol restriction, there could be a restriction on this product as well in the future whenever there is a decline in sugar production. So that's one. And if you are going to a B2C business also, as you have been mentioning, so will you create a distribution network also for this product? These are my three questions.
Yeah, right. Noted. Yeah. Should we answer one by one?
Yeah.
So Avantika, you take up the last two, I take the first.
Okay, so you
want... You said the B2C part, yeah.
Okay. So if we just go backwards, this would still largely remain more B2B than B2C in many ways because we have to first sell to a compounder. But if you consider that as a B2C model, definitely we would be creating distribution networks not only in India but all over the world as well. And these are fairly established, simple, classic distribution models which we would just kind of partake in. It's not at all anything complicated and it's not even very capital intensive in any way. That's one thing. The previous question...
Yeah, so if ever there is a shortage in sugar production, the plant will be able to run on starch, which means other forms of starch.
Yeah, so any other bio-based material which can be used to make ethanol can also be used to make PLA.
And the quantum of sugar we're looking to use to make this much PLA is absolutely insignificant.
Okay.
In the country's perspective.
Got it, sir.
And the ROI part, all that I'll answer, it. I'll give you a dialogue at the end.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have two, three questions. One is that who is the technology partner we have selected for this project? And whether that provider would be giving the technology pieces or in the whole. One is that. Second is that you alluded to the budgetary announcement. So what kind of budgetary support are we looking? Any VGF we are looking for this project from the government side for this project? And my third question would be, there are some international companies who are into this business, bioplastics. So they are into losses. So how does our unit economics stand against them on profitability front?
So I'll attempt to answer a little bit and then I will...
Wait just a minute. Have you finished your question?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. I'm good.
Thanks. Yeah.
So I'll leave the budget question to my dad. I'll address at first the other bioplastic manufacturers, and I don't know where you got this data of loss because as far as I know, there are only around three or four large PLA ventures, none of which are firstly listed, and secondly, I know for a fact that, I mean, they're not in losses at all as far as I know. Secondly, I want to talk about a strategic advantage that we have, which no other player in the world has. We would be located right next to sharing the wall with one of our sugar units, and it gives us a lot of basic landscape which is already there. We have bagasse of our own for power. We would not need to use fossil-based or gas or any other sources of energy. So these are strategic advantages that nobody else in the world has. So in terms of cost of production, I should hope that our cost of production shall remain up there.
Yes. And the NatureWorks and these people, the RO has increased only.
Yes. So NatureWorks, I mean, NatureWorks was the pioneer of this technology, started 20 years ago, but since the last 5 years has been doing quite well, I would say. And you can see that with the growth of the PLA market from just simply between 2000.
The RO has gone up.
Yes. They've announced a second plant, and you know, people are announcing second plants left, right, and center. So anyway, other than this, about the technology portion, we are not yet at liberty to say, but very, like, soon enough, we will also disclose all of those aspects.
So if I can just revert, as you rightly said, there are not many listed players. So I was looking at one of the listed players, Denimer Scientific, which is in US, but it is into both the products, that is PLA and PHA. So they are into losses, so I was referring to those numbers.
So
you're right, many of the players are, yeah.
Yeah, the information is not correct about Denimer being a producer of PLA.
It is PHA.
PHA and PLA, both they are into.
They are combining, most probably. They are not producing.
So if you, Avanti, you can share with them maybe the NatureWorks result and all, which is in public domain.
The total Covion results could possibly be
in public domain. Yeah. Right. So it's not. So you want to talk the budget now? Okay. So budget is the government support. So okay, let me just take you through the entire landscape of the government support as I see it. When we build our project, we only sort of look at what the existing schemes are already. So even in our P&L, we try and not build that. So there is an existing set of schemes already in the UP industrial scheme as well as the central scheme. That is part one. Part two, it very clearly highlights what I said in the beginning, that if the budget, they said a new scheme is on the anvil. The new scheme probably will come out with the full budget. We will await for it and wait with work very closely with the government. So if we see how this government has sort of taken industries ahead and the way it's worked. So the government is very sensitive on a few sectors. If you see the API scheme, the microchip scheme, the defense thinking, the climate change, the passion of our Prime Minister towards a bio-based economy, etc. We are very clear that there is a scheme which is going to be lucrative. We are also very clear that the Atmanirbhar Swachh Bharat and Atmanirbhar Bharat for production will both come into play here. The climate change, the amount of money the world is putting in and what probably would see us, you know, sort of not see us through but put us on the sort of world, put us a long way ahead, could also be there in terms of the scheme. So the climate change, you do some pennies here, you get pounds in the climate change. Atmanirbhar, we have seen. So what I'm saying is, we see a lot of tailwind coming in into this space from the government. Our building, our numbers will never, we don't do government-based numbers. We do our own numbers. And at best, we will take some existing basic schemes into play. So here we are seeing a lot of benefit from the government in each sphere of this business. But our numbers don't sort of replicate that. Okay, I'll just take you through our research and how we have done our numbers. So our, as Amantika just said, our raw material is going to be at our doorstep with zero transport cost. So if you see some of the global players, they transport starch to their facility. Our energy needs are again at our doorstep. We've seen how the gas pricing can be erratic and how crude, etc. Any energy pricing globally and our energy cost. And this is an energy intensive business. So there lies our advantage one, there lies our advantage two. Our costing, our labor, our machinery and our ability to stitch the technology together, we have no doubt, we've spent a long time that before announcing our project, probably years of dialogue and research. Very soon we should be able to put up a far more detailed scheme in front of the board with all the details of the technology partner also. We don't believe in, you know, going with the second best. We believe in going with the best. So our local advantage, our locational advantage, our looking at the government scheme, our 2 years, 2.5 years we have for research and development, product development, and teams will be hired for that. Stefan being an expert on both the technical side and the marketing side and developing the market. That's what he did in his last venture. So and the government's sort of mindset, the Modi government's mindset over the years, this makes us believe that not only are we in the right space, but we are also having the right capability and advantage to execute this and take this ahead. We see scalability also in our minds. So that's how we see the basic, landscape of this business, why we've got into it, and our thinking as to how we will remain globally competitive in this line.
Like insurance only.
Right, so give you a basic idea of why we went into this.
Right, sir. That's quite useful. Thanks a lot, sir, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, you said that the raw material will be starch, so will it be also flexible to use sugar raw material also, or it will be only starch?
So our basic raw material is only going to be sugar. In terms, at times you might put something more.
I want to take it one step further.
Ah.
We can use sugar, we can use starch. In the future, we plan to use agricultural residue, forest waste, and even bad land crops, which, I mean, this is all.
It'll all evolve, but our basic material is at our doorstep.
Correct.
Research will decide, what is the best material to be used, et cetera, which is cost effective.
Okay. And when you say sugar, it is a sugar juice, not like a processed sugar.
It is raw sugar.
Yes, raw sugar.
Okay, raw sugar. Okay.
Which is exported, that sugar.
Understood. But we can ferment juice directly and save the cost, or
no, no,
that
no,
will
no.
not be viable also?
No, no. Sugar, sugar.
Okay, understood, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Malviya from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So I had some few questions. Can you provide some data, like how much sugar need to be diverted for the 75,000 tons of capacity, assuming 100% utilization?
Pramod, what's our data? 110, 100?
Around 1 lakh tons.
About 1 lakh, 110,000 tons.
Okay. And the second question was on the, in case, the is there any plan B? Let's say if the product doesn't get fructified for the use of bioplastic, can there be any other application which you can also target in case if it doesn't, the bioplastic doesn't really pick up?
I don't understand the question.
The
Can you say it again?
The application basic, the PLA which you're talking about will be used to manufacture bioplastics, right?
No, PLA is a bioplastic.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there any other application apart from this which, I mean, which can be, you can use this, this plant if the bioplastic doesn't really pick up?
I'll make it simple. There is an interim product called lactic acid. I mean, we don't envisage that lactic acid would be the product, but there is an intermediary which is lactic acid in a situation that is horrible, that will always remain as an interim product. Also, lactide is an interim product. These things will remain, but this is not the play. PLA is definitely the play here.
Okay. And you said that sugar would be a primary raw material, but in case if the sugar is not available, other starch would be used. Can you also then broadly talk about what kind of IRR you would be making on the project, both with sugar as well as using other starch in case if you don't get sugar?
So just to be clear, this is the first time in the last 15, 20 years I've seen this situation for 1 year. Two, the amount of sugar needed is not even 10% of Balrampur's production, which means it's not even 0.5% of, from what I don't know if now, where you lock that thing. So 0.3% of India's production. Three, in my view, there is going to be no ban on a product like this, because India's government is going to be very keen to make this. So if there is a ban on export or ethanol, it does not mean a consumer like Coke cannot use sugar. I never see a problem of, you know, a consumer not being able to buy sugar in India. So to my mind, that is not a risk at all. But, you know, people feel it, so people have put it on the table. Having said that, there is a lot of options available.
And the IRRs don't change.
IRRs don't change substantially.
Okay.
Right? So just to be clear, guys, when ethanol diversion was sort of restricted, there was no consumer in India who was told don't buy sugar. Because you don't have sugar to mix in your tea on the table at home, it does not mean a candy manufacturer or a halwai or Coke was told not to buy sugar. Because that is consumption. This is again a need which is very different. So if we see, if we read what the a new scheme for bioplastic, etc., and the sort of thirst the government has because of banning the products, will be a very different mindset as we proceed in our field.
Okay. This question could be repetitive. Can you provide a technology partner name? I just missed out if you have shared that name.
No, actually, we're not yet at liberty to say. When we are, we will come out with an announcement.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
As you know, with these people, there are a lot of NDAs and all.
Okay, and just last question, you know, before this groundwork starts for the setting of this project, do you plan to get any anchor customer by giving him some equity or any such arrangement which you're looking at, or it could be a pure commercial arrangement, buy-sell arrangement which you're looking at?
No, no, we don't look at diluting any equity in these, you know, initial stages at all.
Okay. So you're not looking at any anchor customer or anything as of now?
So yeah, just to be clear, the customer, if he's a buyer, are going to be dime a dozen as we decided. And so there's no anchor customer, so as to say.
Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you know, you talked about the global market. Can you talk about the India market? You know, how big is that? How is it going? How do you see over next 4, 5 years, 10 years? You know, what kind of opportunity? Where I'm coming from is that, is this the only one plant, or could there be hundreds of such plant, you know, industry would look at basis the size?
So, thank you for the question. So I did just touch upon it, but the single-use plastic market alone in India is 5 million tons as of 2021. It's only grown from there. Most of this, or at least at a conservative level, half of this can be replaced by PLA. So if we see the headroom, that much headroom is there. So 75,000 tons in a market of 5 million tons is simply a blip. Of course, if the market in India grows, I definitely think there is space for more manufacturers, and I think that would benefit the world and you know, India quite greatly. So I don't know.
No, so also I'd like to just put the concept of, you know, the fear of pricing, if one may. So currently, even if we want to tell the government that please go ahead and, you know, let us say enforce this regulation on these 19 SUPs, the kind of supply we can commit will result in just enforcing it on caps and straws and things like that. And that a cap on a bottle, the pricing will have no impact. Yeah, hardly some paisa, it will get digested with the tagline of being biocompostable. So we do not even see a price resistance initially.
Or at all.
Or at all. So because of not using the entire bottle, because that much goes, you can't hear from here.
And also it's becoming more expensive to be more polluting. as the days pass by.
There are EPR regulations in place.
Understood. I think that's helpful. So second question is, you know, in terms of the approvals, what kind of approvals are needed to go ahead with this facility, you know, whether it is environmental or other? And
nothing regular. No tension there.
No issue with respect to approval?
No, no. We will be putting up all the machinery. That's not a problem.
Understood. If I may ask this question, you know, it obviously appears extremely good move from a sugar company. But, you know, what are the key risks in your opinion which could worry you, you know, given the capital commitment you're looking at?
So in our minds, we've debated the risk for over a year and we come out looking, having a solution for the risk. But, you know, how can I say, technology, quality and all. But we don't think that quality.
There is, I mean, we have a, like, how do I say, we have a 70-point risk mitigation plan. If we could think of a risk, we've mitigated it. If there's something we can't think of, then we are not capable enough to think of at the moment.
Obvious. So what we are trying to say, we've debated a lot. The risk already, I think we've maybe spoken. With technology, would you be able to make the correct product? We feel confident, but yes, definitely, if you don't make the correct product, you won't be able to sell it. Because the product has to be correct. Whether your costing would be okay, we have researched enough. So things like that, I think we've sort of debated and seen. What we don't have a problem at all is with the market. We think it's going to go leaps and bounds beyond our imagination. So if you see PLI schemes, it's coming in for API, Atmanirbhar Bharat, chips, you know, anything which India needs, defense, for, could we have imagined that this would be the sort of market for defense manufacturers? I don't think so. So probably what the government wants from its own country is supported very well. And as we said, we've not relied on it. But that, in my mind, will create a huge market.
Okay. Now, since you touched upon the scheme part of it, you know, you did mention that there is already an existing scheme under UP and central government in, you know, policies. Can you give some color, you know, what kind of benefits are there as of now? And I know you're talking about the new policy, the budget has
exactly, come. UP government scheme above 1,000 crores.
Now, if you could say what exactly the scheme schemes are in place.
Pramod, you won't share it later because we have not sort of relied to. So there's a UP government scheme of above 1,000 crores. The GST waiver, the capital subsidy or GST, etc., etc. Import duty remissions, etc. But those are all available in the public domain for you.
And they're industry agnostic.
They're in, you know, just investment linked schemes.
Would you be able to quantify what is the total benefit?
Okay, we certainly attempt to. We've not quantified as such because we are going ahead and we will be working on our own.
Achal, we have not factored a penny of incentive amount in our internal calculations.
And Achal, it's available on the net.
Yeah, yeah, we'll
so check that. We'll send the scheme.
Sure.
We'll send the scheme.
Sure, sir. Just last question, you know, I don't know, you said you will cover the financial part at the end of the call.
Okay.
In terms of,
yeah, I'll
get the, you know, the utilizations, how soon can you touch peak utilization, how do you look at additional capacities, could additional capacities come at a lower cost, any of those things?
So, Achal, right now, being at the beginning of the execution of the project, yes, your questions are absolutely in place. So what we have seen, we have some idea of the project cost now, which we put up, some clue on the turnover, some clue on the global pricing, and our comparative costing to global pricing. The applicability of the project at a lower cost. The kind of people we'll be working with will ensure that quality, and the cost of production we hope to achieve would be probably lower than the global cost of production. So these are some numbers at our command and doorstep. Having said that, you know, I would not want to venture out into giving an IRR with and without government scheme. That could come a little later when the DPR, etc. gets frozen and all the costing parameters get frozen. So suppose you need 200 tons of bagasse or you need 500 tons of bagasse. So a thing will differ. Or you need 1,10,000 or 1,20,000 tons of sugar. In the next 6-8 months, of all that will get concluded. Having taken everything on the higher side also, having done sensitivity analysis, seen the numbers and worked with the technology partners and consultants very closely before we've announced this project, we feel confident of a few things. Being able to achieve capacity very soon, you know, in a project like this, maybe 3-6 months at best. We feel very confident of delivering the globally best quality USFDA level approved. All these checks and balances will be built into the warranties of the supplier. OTIF, on time and in full kind of concept. We also have understood the basic need for, you know, the raw material and energy cost and energy needs. We find it at our doorstep based on the identification of location of this project being closest to one of our largest plants. So having done things like that, we feel very confident on the financial side as well as the technology side. We've not yet factored in any benefit on, you know, funding which we hope to get at a much lower cost tomorrow, or government schemes which exist or will come out. Plus, we feel extremely confident of building the market. This partner, investment to Conspec, DRDO calling them, just shows us what kind of potential exists.
Got it. Just so one.
We feel confident on all the spheres.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful. Just one quick question. This will be largely domestic focused, right? Or you could...
Yes.
Okay.
Largely domestic focused, definitely, because it is better for the country. But if... But in the event, for any reason, it's domestically not consumed, we would definitely export, you know, if the prices are good, definitely.
So that's why I said our quality will be export standard. If what comes out from this factory, it probably would not be anything less which comes out from a Nature Works.
Got it. Understood. This is very helpful, sir. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So just one question from the government scheme perspective. Like in ethanol, what we have seen, government has a clear strategy that that the ethanol blending should be around 20% over the next 5 years. So do you expect some kind of, you know, initiative coming in from government point of view that, you know, as ma'am said, that single-use plastic is around 5 million tons over the, even not 5 years, over the next 10 years, at least 15-20% of the single-use plastic should be converted should be replaced by PLA. Such kind of schemes or initiatives you expect from the government end, which will give us a clear picture for you and other, companies or industries to, to come up with such kind of projects?
So, as I said in the beginning, if you just read what the budget has said, the new scheme is on the way. So, definitely, I hope all parts of it will get covered. They will encourage you to manufacture domestically and ensure that your domestic market is there. Plus, nobody can dump.
Right.
So what happened in ethanol? So if we replicate that, you will not understand what can happen here. But if we replicate that, what did government say? Government said, I want 10% to begin with and then 20% from ethanol. Right? And they said, I don't care about what the crude price is. So when crude price went to 0 or 10 or 20, our price was 60. For BME, which was much higher than definitely what they could have got from the market. So when you go into mandates, which are globally also in the same space of being supported through legislation to create demand, the concept is I want so much of mixture, as you said, because I want the climate change in place. Hence, what you said with the correct sort of demand and pricing will both come into play with support schemes. So we feel very, very buoyant as we go into this. But that's, you know, how we see it. And you will see in the next 3 to 6 months a lot of things come out. I hope this scheme comes up with the new budget itself.
And you don't expect pricing to be an issue because, as ma'am said, that it is 2 times, the prices are higher compared to what the current traditional plastic has been used in the market. So it should not be an issue for us. You expect the demand to be better for this product.
So I'll take that question. So I think it's already... The demand is already there and growing without anything being done in terms of pricing, firstly. This is because when there is a ban in place, when there are EPRs in place, then plastic usage and comparison to fossil-based plastic is out the window. We are talking from a comparison with cloth, with cardboard and those other things. And I think in terms of usability and pricing, everything, we should be good.
And another point which I said to begin with, for India to feed its people and replacing the fossil fuel plastic, you would initially only be able to provide for the cap and the cupboards and the straws, which do not form a, you know, very reasonable sort of price shift if you have to buy a bottle. But having said that, yes, what Avantika said is valid and is globally valid. So people are with the same kind of fear with ethanol.
For example, even we would be competing with a glass bottle, right? When it came to water for a single-use plastic bottle. So it obviously be better than glass. So that's what I'm trying to say, that do not compare because it does not exist, the comparison anymore with traditional plastic.
Thanks for the clarification and all the best for the great initiative.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gauri A. from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, team, for the opportunity. So, I have actually two questions. One was, you happen to indicate that, you'll use sugar crystals, or if the crystals, in place of crystals, the alternate would be in form of starch. But when you look at the crystals, the form is, of course, one is liquid, one is solid, and the sucrose content also varies. If you can just help us, how should we think about the fermentation, perhaps from sugar crystals and perhaps from any form of starch? That's one. And the second is, I heard you that you really can't share a lot of financial details. In terms of, funding this project, is that a debt equity target in mind?
Yes.
If you can
yes,
help
we'll
me.
Answer that.
Thank you.
So for the first question, the sugar crystals, obviously you not put crystals into a fermenter. It has to be liquefied and diluted in order to ferment it. And similarly for starch, this is a non-issue. The capacity of starch is backward linked to what is required in terms of lactic acid and then PLA. So this is a non-issue.
Yeah. And we did explain that. And our thinking is 40% internal accruals and 60% debt.
Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Sonavne from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, we have also done a minority investment into Cobalt Speciality Plastics Limited. So I just wanted to understand what would be the role of, Cobalt Speciality in the entire, our PLA investment and our plan going forward. And secondly, you also indicated that there are a couple of other biodegradable plastics in the market as well. So in terms of, overall profitability, comparing PLA to the other two products, where does PLA firstly stand in terms of profitability? And going forward, do we also have an option to, produce the other two or three biodegradable options which you indicated instead of PLA? So these are only my couple of questions which I have. Thank you.
Yes. So I'll start with the role of Konkan Specialty. So just to put it in a, in really like in short, is that Konkan Specialty will have the ability to handle most of our PLA produced and they will also be creating the demand for the same if the need so arises. So now PLA is used in two ways. I'll try to explain this, kind of difficult on the call. So it is PLA is used neat, and then PLA is used as a compound or a master batch. A master batch is as much as salt would be in food. So it just lends some characteristics which are required, which are mixed then with the neat PLA to create, like, let's say, a cosmetic tub. Then it could be a bottle which is mostly made of neat PLA completely. Then there are compounds which are used for plastic bags, which would, you know, let's say be in like a 60-40 ratio of PBAT and PLA. So there are n number of things like this depending on the use. Konkan Specialty, the role of Konkan Specialty would be to make these recipes and solutions to all big or small companies who can, who would like to utilize, or who we touch to utilize our product. So they are actually, they along with others, it's not just them, we just happen to have invested in them because we find them to be the leading players in India, but even globally there are many who would then become the enablers of PLA usage, make it something viable and easy for the end customer to use. I want to add in one more very important point, which I think we missed, is that the existing conversion and compounding landscape for traditional plastics can be easily utilized to make the same products with bioplastics. Now, other than this, your second question was, can we produce later on, you know, the other bioplastics? So at the moment, to be specific, PBAT is produced from fossil-based sources, but it is biodegradable. Therefore, it's called a bioplastic. So PBAT, I don't think is something that we would look at. PHA, I mean, it's made from glucose. It's a far more complex process, and it is more expensive, and the hit rate is lesser. Like the success rate, it's harder to make. You would probably, like, it is lesser. So in terms of profitability, I would think that PLA should be the best, because it is a largest manufactured bioplastic in the world today. I hope I've answered everything.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one point, you know, this you mentioned the global PLA market is about 300,000-400,000 tons per annum right now. What is the kind of growth that we are seeing, you know, in this market right now?
So there are, you know, there are figures ranging from 12 to 20% CAGR depending on which research report you see. So that we expect to keep it going. There are so many announcements of more PLA projects already announced. For example, LG Chemical has announced in the US, NatureWorks has announced in Thailand, Total Corbion has announced in France. I think there might be one or two in China. I'm not sure, because China news is a bit difficult. So, you know, I see growth coming into that same effect.
Okay. And in India, I would presume the market is going to be small, but it would have some market, as you mentioned, that, you know, Starbucks and Amul, you know, few sort of, you know, players which are using, you know, this product. So any sort of sense, I mean, what would be the size of the market, you know, right now? And, you know, so, I mean, you know, 2.5 years means the project would be up and running fiscal, you know, 27, and, you know, maybe full scale up in 28. So we have some time. Where do you think, you know, the market size would be? I mean, without sort of taking into account, you know, government, you know, actions in terms of dumping and all that. But organically, where do you think, where is the market now, and where do you think it is going to be in 3-4 years' time in India?
To give you an accurate data for what the market is today is very difficult, because PLA is not produced in India, as we know. So we have to rely on import data. So neat PLA import data is not accurate in terms of demand, because most of the PLA coming into the country and being used is coming in terms of finished products. such as already made cups, already made straws, already made. Now it's impossible to gauge from this how much is really the demand, but we envisage it to be maybe already between 20,000-30,000 tons without anything happening, and it's growing.
Okay, understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But this is not a, don't bind me to that statement, because it's not
possible. It's going to be very big in terms of in our thinking.
Yeah, this conservation.
The ESG compliance needs, the want, the mandate. All three combined is our view, which will propel the size and the demand.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Arshia Shah from ET Now. Please go ahead. Ms. Shah, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed.
Hi, can you hear me?
Ma'am, your audio is low and there is a background disturbance from your line.
Now can you hear me?
We can hear you. Please proceed.
Alright, this is not related to the project, but I have a question with respect to supply of sugarcane for ethanol production. There were some reports to suggest Cabinet Secretary is going to hold a review meeting today. Anything that the management is aware of, not related to the project, but it's important.
No, ma'am. That the we this is a project call, ma'am.
Alright, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, everyone, and for being with us today. And I hope we answered your questions to the best of our ability. We do remain sort of buoyant and very excited as we move into this space. And we shall continuously, as and when the next update happens with the board, we shall concurrently have an investor call to keep you updated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Balrampur Chini Mills, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.